Lesson 5, Deceivers by Occupation. This lesson begins on page 25 of your book. This audio text version contains the reading of any listed footnotes. While most of this discussion has centered around identifying persons, acting in the role of Antichrist, this is not my main effort. While it's very important to define them, please don't lose sight that the goal of this Bible study is to identify the man who is the Antichrist. The characteristics being discussed now are identical for the person who will become known as the Antichrist. Those who know Scripture well should already know who he is. But, contrary to what some might think, the Bible does not just spell out his name for us. No. We discover who he is through some detective work. While there exists a large volume of Scripture devoted to discussion of the man we all refer to as the Antichrist, there are only a few verses which actually mention the word Antichrist. Within the entire Bible, there are precisely four of them. All are located within the pages of the New Testament. There's no equivalent word in either Hebrew or Aramaic, and so the word Antichrist does not appear anywhere within the pages of the Old Testament. Believe it or not, three of these verses have already been discussed within the first four lessons of this book. The point to be realized is that once Jesus came to earth and began his ministry, there arose those persons who would oppose him. Every single one of those individuals, by definition, are antichrists. They operate under the spirit of the Antichrist, which we saw is nothing more than a euphemism for under the influence of Satan. Satan is the person behind the persecution of Jesus Christ. The man we call the Antichrist will embody all the characteristics of the spirit of Antichrist, because he will eventually be indwelt by Satan himself. Satan has opposed mankind since our first moments within the Garden of Eden. Footnote number 18. Genesis, chapter 3. Please read the entire chapter from your Bible. So, it shouldn't be surprising to us that he would oppose the Messiah from the beginning of his life. We are all familiar with the story surrounding the birth of Jesus. Satan knew who he was, right from the start. Recall that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the state of Judea, during the reign of a man named King Herod. Footnote number 19. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi, from the east arrived in Jerusalem, and a footnote. King Herod claimed that he himself was the king of the Jews. And in the literal sense, he was. Herod was appointed by Rome to in fact rule over the Jews. But Herod wanted more. He laid claim to be the long-awaited Messiah. But Herod was not a Jew. He was an Essene. Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, was the father of twin sons, Isaac and Esau. Esau was born first, with his heel grasped by the hand of Jacob. Footnote number 20. Genesis. Chapter 25. Please read the entire chapter from your Bible. The boys were in competition with each other from birth. The Bible tells us that Esau sold his birthright to his younger brother for a bowl of red stew. When it came time for Isaac to give his blessing to his elder son, he requested that Esau go out into the field to kill some venison. Isaac had desire for it and wanted to eat a meal before giving his blessing to Esau. Isaac's wife, Rebekah, overheard the conversation and hatched out a plan to obtain the blessing for her favorite son Jacob instead. Footnote number 21. Genesis, chapter 27. Please read the entire chapter from your Bible. End of footnote. The ruse worked, and Jacob, later known as Israel, became the father of the Jews. The Jews knew that the Messiah would come through the line of Jacob, and not Esau. King Herod's bloodline came through Esau, so he could never have been the Messiah. But that didn't stop him from trying. King Herod claimed to be the Messiah. After all, his ancestor Esau was from the same father as Jacob. And like Satan, he too desired to steal the worship intended for the Messiah. Herod had spent huge sums of money, upgrading and expanding the temple in Jerusalem. He even went so far, as to eventually having a home built in Bethlehem, so that he could lay claim to being from there. So when the wise men from the east showed up, seeking where the king of the Jews was born, Herod became greatly troubled. Footnote number 22. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 2. Where is he, who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him. End of footnote. The Bible tells us that all of Jerusalem was troubled as well. Footnote number 23. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. End of footnote. Why do you suppose that would be true? We can discover the reason for their trouble, within the pages of a dictionary. The Greek word for troubled, used in the verse, is etarachthi. It means, to cause inward perplexity or commotion. The mere mention that the Messiah had been born, and was in the world, stirred up quite a commotion within the people. To more understand exactly what they were feeling, we need to look up the word perplexity. It means, emotional agitation. It's no coincidence that the spirit of Antichrist was born, at the same time the world learned of the birth of Jesus Christ. We see it within the city of Jerusalem. Recall that Jesus said, there would be no fence straddling, when it came to making decisions about him. We are either with him, or against him. The demons of Satan inhabit the souls of men, when permitted to do so. We know from history, that the religious elite in Jesus' day, with rare exception, were against him. Therefore, it's reasonable to state that as a group, they were being demonically influenced. It then makes sense, that an announcement of the birth of the long-awaited Messiah, would spread through Satan's followers, faster than a duck on a June bug. And not only that, but the emotional agitation arising from such a revelation, could be expected to be fiercely vehement. The word agitation, is defined as, a moving back and forth, with an irregular, rapid, and violent action. So Herod, feeling great inner turmoil and perplexity, did the only thing he could think of, gather the religious elite. King Herod called together all the chief priests and scribes, along with anyone who might know anything about the coming Messiah. He inquired of them where the Messiah was prophesied to be born. Footnote number 24, Matthew, chapter 2, verse 4. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, the Jews, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. End of footnote. Notice, he didn't tell them the Messiah was alleged to have been born. He kept that part secret. Footnote number 25. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod secretly called the Magi, and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. End of footnote. They told him it would be in Bethlehem. The priests quoted Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, from out of the Torah. Footnote number 26. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you, one will go forth for me, to be ruler in Israel. End of footnote. Having the location, Herod sent the Magi to Bethlehem, with instructions to go and carefully search for the child. He told them the lie, that he too, wanted to go and worship him. Footnote number 27, Matthew, chapter 2, verse 8. But, it was all just part of an evil plot. Satan was determined, to once more try and thwart the hand of God. The Magi went and found Jesus, and worshipped him. But God warned them in a dream, to not go back to Herod. Footnote number 28, Matthew, chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. After the Magi departed, God warned Joseph to flee to Egypt. The reason, Herod, acting under the influence of Satan, was going to search for Jesus to kill him. Footnote number 29, Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. When Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the Magi, he became enraged. he sent his soldiers to kill all the male children, 2 years and under, living near Bethlehem. Footnote number 30, Matthew, chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Jesus likely had not yet reached his second birthday, and the spirit of Antichrist already held a firm presence in the world. Had Herod succeeded in killing Jesus before his time, Satan would have won. But, as we know, God is all-knowing and all-powerful, thankfully that will never happen. Which brings us to the fourth and final verse in Scripture, mentioning the word Antichrist. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those not confessing the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Footnote number 31, 2 John, chapter 1, verse 7. The Greek word for those not confessing is homologountes, and translates to profess, declare. These persons are unable to profess that Jesus came in the flesh. Herod is perhaps the most famous one of his time. Being unable to admit Jesus came in the flesh means they deny he came via the birth of a virgin. The word profess means to say or declare something openly. That explains why Herod made his false statement to desire to go and worship Jesus in secret. Those acting in the role of Antichrist are prohibited from publicly professing Christ. The occupation of the Antichrists is to deny Jesus at every possible opportunity. From the moment the forces of Satan learned the Messiah had been born, they began to wage war against him. I can't be certain, but it's possible that Herod believed he'd managed to kill the newborn Christ. The real issue here surrounds the timing of the birth of Christ. Antichrists deny Jesus' birth by using any lie to attempt to cast uncertainty upon biblical details. One example is the information given to us regarding the slaughter of the babies in Bethlehem. Antichrists will insist Herod died in 4 BC, well before the biblically stated time of the massacre. By doing so, they inject poison into the biblical timing of Christ's birth, ministry, and crucifixion. If King Herod's death happened in 4 BC, this was significantly prior to the accepted date of Christ's actual birth. One historian claimed Herod died on March 13, 4 BC. This date is attributed to Flavius Josephus' remarks in Antiquities, that there was a lunar eclipse shortly before Herod died. However, NASA research clearly shows that this eclipse in 4 BC would have been visible only very late at night in Judea. Also, it was classified as a minor eclipse due to it being only partial. The data shows there were no prominent lunar eclipses visible in Judea thereafter until two occurred in the year 1 BC. Both were total eclipses. One took place on January 9 at 8:21 a.m. and the other, on July 5, at 11:05 p.m. These dates are still too early to support the historical record. Now, there was a spectacular total eclipse, right over Jerusalem on May 4, 3 AD, at 7:21 p.m. The timing of this eclipse fits perfectly into the historical account of Herod's death happening after Passover, followed shortly thereafter by a lunar eclipse. It allows for Herod to have ordered the slaughter of all babies under 2 years of age, following Christ's birth. The same sort of allegations took place over the timing of Jesus' death. Once again, data from NASA was used to perfectly corroborate the biblical account. Get your copy of Holy Week from dwjdministries.com to learn all the details. Jesus commands us to become disciples. That means we are being directed to follow him. We do that by heeding his word. The Bible is his word. Within the pages of Scripture, it tells us we must put on the armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil. Footnote number 32, Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. End of footnote. When we become followers of Jesus, we gain the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. But, if we don't know the Bible, we'll be unable to defend our faith against the Antichrists. They are here, and have made denying Christ their occupation. Our occupation is to spread the message of the gospel. We must be better prepared to win the battle. Lesson 5, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, explain why the mention of Jesus Christ causes trouble within those who aren't followers of him. Question 2, the Bible clearly discussed the need for followers of Jesus to profess him. Why is this necessary? Question 3, why did Herod secretly make his confession to the Magi regarding his false desire to go and worship the Messiah? Explain fully. Question 4, why are those swayed by demons agitated at the name of Jesus? Describe the real reason. Question 5, describe what it means to put on the armor of God. Which is the most important part? When you're ready, you can proceed on to Lesson 6, Eternal Destiny. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the page with the Chapter 1 lessons. Then move on to Lesson 6, Eternal Destiny. Click on the blue box to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Lesson 6, labeled 1.6, Eternal Destiny, to hear the next lesson. You're nearly finished listening to Chapter 1.